All right, let's dive into this case. Wilkes versus Springside Nursing Home. It's a story of ambition and betrayal, and really a legal battle that kind of shaped how we think about close corporations today.
Yeah, you know, it's fascinating because it gets to the heart of trust and loyalty in business, especially when personal and professional lines get blurred.
It was a soap opera, really, but with legal briefs. So let's set the scene. 1951, four guys, Wilkes, Quinn, Rich, and Pipkin. They see an opportunity. They buy this old hospital building, and they decide to turn it into a nursing home.
Right.
They make this pact, right? Equal work, equal share of the profits. Sounds simple enough.
Yeah, and that initial agreement, even though it was informal, is really crucial. It speaks volumes about their intentions at the start. It was a handshake on shared ownership, responsibility, the foundation of their partnership, and eventually their corporation.
Exactly. But like we know, things rarely go according to plan. So in 1959, new player enters the game, Connor. He's a bank president, buys out Pipkin shares, becomes a director, starts taking a salary. But here's the thing, doesn't seem to have any real responsibilities.
Yeah, you know, Connor's arrival really shifts the whole dynamic. You have someone coming in from the outside, maybe not with malicious intentions, but definitely with a different perspective, maybe different priorities than the original partners. This is where things start to get interesting.
Tense. Just a few years later, in 1965, they decide to sell some property. Wilkes. He's a savvy negotiator, manages to get a better price than Quinn was hoping for. And let's just say, their relationship kind of takes a nosedive. Business and personal feelings, they collide.
Yeah, this disagreement over the sale, it's like a catalyst, creates this crack in their partnership, breakdown of trust between Quinn and Wilkes, unfortunately. Starts to impact the other partners.
And then comes the knockout punch, 1967. Wilkes' salary is suddenly terminated. He's voted out, both as director and officer. Essentially, they kicked him to the curb. And the reason, not poor performance, pure personal animosity.
That's where the case takes a turn, into some serious legal territory. Wilkes decides to fight back. He sues, claiming a breach of fiduciary duty. Now this concept, fiduciary duty, it's essential in understanding close corporations, where the relationships between shareholders goes beyond just financial investment.
So break this down for us. What does fiduciary duty actually mean in the context of a business like this?
Yeah, so think of it as a heightened responsibility to act in the best interests of the company and your fellow owners. It demands the utmost good faith and loyalty. It's not just about what's best for you. It's about the collective good of the corporation and all of its shareholders.
So the court had to determine whether Quinn, Richie, and Connor violated this fiduciary duty by freezing Wilkes out.
Exactly, and that's where the court really starts digging into the motivations behind the majority's actions. Were their actions justified? Did they have a legitimate business purpose for pushing Wilkes out?
I'm guessing the answer is no.
You are absolutely right. The court found that the majority's actions, driven purely by personal dislike, desire to just get rid of Wilkes, they couldn't come up with a valid business reason for what they did. Personal disputes, as the court found, don't give you the right to sabotage your business partners.
That's a relief to hear. Oh. But the plot thickens, right? The court didn't stop there. They went even further and asked this crucial question. Could the majority have achieved their goal, whatever that may have been, in a less harmful way?
Exactly. The court emphasized that even if the majority had a valid business reason, they still have an obligation to consider the impact of their actions on minority shareholders and choose the least damaging path. This part of the ruling is so important. It shows the court's commitment to protecting minority shareholders from being treated unfairly.
Wow. So it's not just about being right. It's about being fair. And considering the impact on everyone, this case is full of twists and turns. So the court rules in Wilkes' favor. But the story doesn't end there, does it? The question of how much he's actually owed becomes a whole other legal battleground.
You hit the nail on the head. The court's decision to side with Wilkes opens up this Pandora's box of financial complexities, determining the exact damages, especially when you consider things like the changing salaries of the other partners after Wilkes was ousted. Becomes a real challenge.
So how do you even begin to untangle that mess? It sounds like figuring out those damages could be a whole other deep dive in itself.
That's a great point, and we'll definitely delve deeper into that issue of damages. In the next part of our deep dive, buckle up, because it's about to get even more complicated and a lot more interesting. So you know we left off with the court siding with Wilkes, recognizing that breach of fiduciary duty and the case being sent back to the lower courts to figure out how much he was owed. But this all happened decades ago. Back in the 60s.
Yeah, it does seem like a bit of a history lesson. Why should we care about this case today? Does it still have any relevance?
Absolutely. The Wilkes case. It's considered a landmark decision in corporate law. It really set a precedent that continues to influence how courts handle these types of disputes, especially in close corporations.
I think what's interesting to me is it's not just about the money. It's really about fairness, ethical behavior, recognizing that personal relationships don't give you a free pass to act unethically, especially when you're dealing with other people's livelihoods and investments.
Yeah, you're right. It's a reminder that you can't just treat your business partners like pawns in some personal game of chess. The law recognizes those deeper obligations at play.
So the court was trying to determine what Wilkes's financial situation would look like if he hadn't been unfairly excluded. But the other partners' salaries changed over time. Their role shifted. After Wilkes was gone, how do you even begin to untangle that mess and figure out what he would have earned?
Yeah, that's where the legal and financial experts come in. They have to reconstruct a hypothetical scenario, almost like piecing together a puzzle where some of the pieces are missing.
So they'd be looking at things like company financial records, comparing the compensation of other partners, and trying to factor in anything that might have impacted Wilkes' earnings had he stayed with the company.
Exactly. And this often involves a lot of, you know, number crunching, expert testimony. It can get pretty complex, but it's crucial in ensuring that Wilkes receives fair compensation for the harm he suffered.
This is a great example of how a seemingly simple situation can spiral into this complex legal battle with a lot at stake. So what are some lessons that we can learn? What can people do to avoid ending up in a similar situation?
You know, I think this case is a powerful reminder of the importance of clear agreements, transparency, and ethical conduct, especially in those close corporations where the lines between personal and professional relationships can easily get blurred. It's kind of a cautionary tale for anyone thinking about starting a business with friends or family.
Yeah, I can see how those relationships could be a source of strength for a business. But without clear agreements from the start, things could get messy pretty fast.
You got it. Well, close relationships can be beneficial. Having legally sound agreements in place from day one, it's essential. It can help prevent those misunderstandings, provide a framework for resolving disputes.
What about someone like Wilkes? What can minority shareholders do to protect themselves from being pushed around by the majority?
Well, the Wilkes case, it's really a beacon for minority shareholders. It reinforces their rights and shows that they have legal options if they're treated unfairly. It's vital to understand those rights, document any agreements, and seek legal advice if you suspect something isn't right.
It's amazing how one case from the 60s can still have so much relevance for businesses today.
It really does. It speaks to the enduring nature of these legal principles. Protecting the rights of all stakeholders in a business is crucial, and the Wilkes case serves as a strong reminder of that.
So we've covered the legal arguments and the breach of trust and, you know, even the complexities of calculating damages. But what about the human element in all of this?
Yeah.
I mean, it's easy to get lost in those legal details, but
yeah.
This case is ultimately about real people and the impact these events had on their lives.
Right. And you can forget that behind every legal case, there's a human story.
Think about Wilkes. I mean, he poured his heart and soul into building this business. And then just like that, he's cast aside. That sense of betrayal must have been profound.
Yeah, it's not just about the financial loss, although that's certainly a factor. It's about the feeling of being excluded, having your voice silenced, your contributions disregarded.
It really highlights the emotional toll that these kinds of disputes can take.
Right.
On everyone involved, it's a reminder that business decisions have human consequences.
Absolutely. And it's not just Wilkes who suffers. You know, the other partners, even though they might have thought they won in the short term, they ultimately created a toxic environment and fractured their relationships, which has lasting consequences as well.
So what's the lasting legacy of this case? What's the key takeaway you want our listeners to walk away with?
For me, it boils down to trust. You know, in any business venture, especially a close corporation, where you're working closely with others, trust is the foundation. Without it, everything crumbles.
It's like that saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. But going together requires trust, respect, and a commitment to fairness.
Exactly. Without those elements, the journey's going to be fraught with conflict and likely end in failure.
Well, this deep dive has been a fascinating exploration of a landmark case and a reminder that even in the world of business, integrity and fairness are essential.
I hope our listeners take away a deeper understanding of these concepts and a renewed appreciation for the human side of business.
Well said. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into the Wilkes versus Springside Nursing Home case. It's a story with valuable lessons for anyone involved in business, reminding us that it's not just about winning, but about doing business the right way.